Morning, everybody.
Morning.
And now it is my very great pleasure to welcome Susan Deacon to us this morning. Certainly no stranger to Rockingham Road. Pray that you give her a very warm welcome and pray for God's blessing on her and the service this morning. Susan.
Thank you very much. It is lovely to be with you all again. I was trying to work out how long ago it was that I was here with you. It seems like yesterday in some senses, and yet a lot of things have happened, haven't they? I bring you greetings from Woodford. We're still chugging along, not many of us out there in the village. But my father has now retired, so we're in a similar situation to you guys as to what next. But we have blessed by visiting speakers and doing things amongst ourselves. But it is lovely to come out and share fellowship with you all today. I've got a very familiar passage for us to think about, and I pray that God will enlighten us and empower us to be different as a result of reading it again this week. And I'm going to read to open our service the first few verses from that. And then you can all switch off. No, don't do that. Let's see what God's going to share with us today. So I'm going to read these a couple of verses as we come to worship today. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. To me, that's great news. Isn't that amazing? That's a wonderful start, I feel, to this chapter, which is all about things that get lost. We all get lost in all sorts of ways, but it tells us here very clearly, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's not something to mutter about to me, that's something to rejoice in, because it means we are all welcome. And I want us to start with a quieter hymn, perhaps, than you'd expect, to reflect and remember this amazing love on this Father's Day of our Heavenly Father, who loves us, sin and all. Just as we are, we can come into his presence today. So let's sing together, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast, beyond all measure. Thank you, guys.
Beyond all measure.
Let us pray. As we sing, so we pray. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, that his wounds have paid my ransom. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, acknowledging our sinfulness, acknowledging our shame, acknowledging that we let you down so often in thought and word and deed, and yet rejoicing that we can come together one with another, we can come into thy holy presence just as we are, knowing that thou art a God of love, a God of mercy. And we come to you not in our own strength, but in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord, who died that we might be forgiven, who died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Oh, how we thank you for this amazing gift that you've given to mankind, that you love the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We praise you, we thank you, and rejoice in this truth that in Jesus Christ we have everlasting life that starts now. We can experience thy love and blessing on our lives every day. And we do thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings you've given to us since last we met in this way. So often we take things for granted, but at the outset of our worship here this morning, we pause and reflect and remember and thank you. Thank you for being with us through thick and thin. Thank you for supplying our every need. Thank you for always being there whenever we choose to turn aside. You're never too busy. And we thank you and we praise you again here this morning. Wouldst thou come amongst us, we pray, by the power of thy Spirit, and brood amongst us and touch our hearts as we consider the words of perhaps familiar passages to us, as we bring our praise to you. We seek to draw near to you, Heavenly Father. Wouldst thou draw near to us and bless us as we share this time together in Jesus' name. We bring our prayers together as we share in the prayer Jesus taught his followers, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Continuing reading from that chapter in Luke, which is what I opened our service with today, hear these words. Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. As I said, quite a familiar story, I'm sure, to all of you. But as we reflect on this again this morning, on this Father's Day, firstly, I want to say to you all, a welcome awaits you. A welcome, a warm welcome awaits you. But as we see in that passage with that man, he had to come. He had to come to his father. He had to turn aside from the pigs. He had that revelation in his heart to go and turn around. You have to come. There's a verse in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We've got to open the door to our Heavenly Father and invite him in. Our next song picks up that theme, to come to the Father through Jesus, the Son. I was going to do some sign language, sounds like I need to. Do you use sign language sometimes here? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Come. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son. And give him the glory, great things he has done. Join in if you can with the actions, but please let's sing together and praise our Heavenly Father. To God be the glory, great things he has done.
Thank you.
great things he has taught us, great things he has done. I'm going to pick on somebody now, because my voice is a bit croaky this morning. Anybody want to read for me? Any volunteers? Yes? Can we have a mic? How do we do the microphone? Can I give you this one? Just want to read Psalm 32, please. Thanks, Wendy. I could do it, but I'll save my voice for a bit. You could have this one. I'll just give you this one. Give you this one.
What's going on down there?
I don't know, but you could use this one.
What are we doing? Praise
Psalm 32, please. Right. I'll read it in my Bible, it's a bit.
Yeah.
Thank you. Psalm 32.
Right. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly, pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse of the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, who will not come to you. Many are the voices of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
Thank you very much. Well read, without any warning there. Thank you. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. If we confess our sin, God says he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And yet things happen, don't they? We make judgments on people. Ooh, do we? Or is that just me? We don't get the full story, and we judge people. We're called not to judge, aren't we? Just little things like this, we judge circumstances without getting all the facts. But the forgiveness from God, it's not built on what we deserve. It's available to us because of God's amazing love for us. There is no better love than the love that comes from him. Let us come before him in prayer again this morning and be honest with him about the things perhaps that we have done. It's so easy to just say, Lord, forgive me. But let's be honest and open and truthful in our thoughts, that as we confess our sin, he can then forgive us for them. Let us pray. O Father of the fatherless, we come before you this morning, acknowledging our sinful ways, So often we get broken. And sadly, we sometimes break other people too, by the things that we say and do, or just through our absence. So many people around who are lonely and sad, who long to know one who loves them and cares for them. Forgive us, Father, for those times when we've not reached out with thy love, those thoughts that have come into our minds to make that telephone call or to write that letter or that email, to stop next to that person in the street, to just say that somebody cares, something that might point them to thy amazing love for them. We see on a TV so much war and hatred. We pray for all those who seek to shed thy love abroad. What the world needs is Jesus. It's of him, a chorus we used to sing. Oh, Father, we pray for thy people, that as thy spirit indwells them, you might shine through them, that your love might be shed abroad, that where men's hearts are failing them for fear, they might find your love and your contentment and your peace. In the quietness, Father, we bring our own cares and concerns and failings to thee, acknowledging and wondering and praising you, knowing that thou art one who hears and answers our prayers. Also, Lord, pray for those who are not able to be with us here this morning. We remember before you, especially Laura and Philip, and Way on their holiday. Pray your blessing upon them where they are. And Lord, any others who are unwell or poorly or busy doing other things, as we bring names of individuals into our hearts, we ask your blessing upon them, that they might be surrounded by your love just where they are, and know and experience our peace. And as we conclude our prayers, I'd like us to read together the words that are on the screen. O Father and the fatherless, in whom all families are blessed, I love the way you are holding me. You gave me life, forgave the past, now in your arms I say my dust. I love the way you follow me. When bruised and broken, I draw near, you hold me close and dry my tears. I love the way you follow me. At last, my fearful heart is still, surrendered to your perfect will. I love the way you follow me. If in my foolishness I stray, returning empty and ashamed, I love the way you follow me. Exchanging for my wretchedness your radiant robes of righteousness, I love the way you follow me. Spirit cries, I love the way you follow me. Before such love, I stand amazed, and ever will through endless days. I love the way you follow me. Follow me, forever you'll follow me, and in your embrace I will be forever secure. I love the way you follow me. I love the way you follow me. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you, Father, for your love for mankind. May we never take this love for granted and be vessels through which your love can show and spread into the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I share some thoughts from our parable today, we're going to sing again. And that is about love, if you haven't guessed already. There is no love like the love of Jesus. Let's sing together.
And so often I think that flips off the tongue. Yes, of course God loves us. Just Christians, perhaps. But yes, we know God loves us. But what difference does that really make to our lives? So the question, what does it mean to you to know that somebody loves you? How does it, I want to rephrase that, what does it mean? How does, what do you expect in that relationship from the love? It's nice to feel loved, isn't it? But what, for example, I've read down here, you don't need words when you really feel loved, mm-hmm. because you're with that person and it just feels right. Or that person that would go the extra mile. And you know it's okay to ask them because they love you so much.
Mummy loves her daughter.
Her mummy loves her daughter, that's right. And a mother would do anything for their child. Absolutely. It's that unconditional love, isn't it? Real love, brilliant answer, is unconditional. When you hold a baby in your arms that is helpless, that is real love. A friend of mine said, I didn't really know what love was until I held a baby in my arms and realised that that was it, I've got this baby to deal with. So what else did I write down here? I put a sense of support and understanding. Someone that's got time for you. Someone that just turns up to pick you up when you're down. Knowing the true you. That's quite a big one, isn't it? To know the true you, not behind, not the mask that we put on for everybody else, but someone who knows the real you, everything, from an intimate place, not the masked version. That's the love of God for each one of us. And it's the love that we are called to share. And in the story that we've read today, there's three characters that have an opportunity to experience love and to show love. I'm going to read the end of the story now, because we often don't think about a second child. It tells us that meanwhile the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother's come home," he replied, "and your father has killed the fat calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother was thrilled to bits and joined the party. Didn't happen, did it? The older brother, it says in this story, became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. When this son of yours came home, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, you kill the fat calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." Hear those words as children of the living God today. He says, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours." "We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So three simple little pictures for you to think about. The father loved his son so much that he let him go. The younger one kind of came to him and said, "Well, when you're dead, I'm going to have some money, so can I have it now, please?" That's kind of wishing you're dead, isn't it, my boy? And yet the father loved him enough to give him that and to let him go. It takes a lot of love sometimes, doesn't it, to let someone go. If you love someone, let them go. If you come back, they're yours. If not, they never were. Is that the same thing you used to hear? Not so sure about that one. But the father knew when to let go, but he did not stop loving. He did not stop loving even from afar. As he was looking out, as we know from the story that was told, that when the son comes back, he's looking, he saw him from a long way off. The father, he knew when to let go, but he didn't stop loving. What about the young boy? young boy, well, he walked away. He walked away from the love that his father had on offer. And where did he find his satisfaction? In pleasure, in wealth, in his self. Not very satisfying for me, is it? And yet we look at the world today and so many people go to all sorts of places to find satisfaction for their soul. And it's only when he reaches rock bottom that he realises how much God, where his father in the story there left him. How often does that perhaps happen to us? A lot of you know my story is things that have happened in my life. And I can stand here before you and say it's when you're in the rock bottom moments, in that place of solitude, when you truly know that God is there. When there's no other distractions, the Twitter feed, the Facebook, the TV, the radio, the shopping, people even. When everything goes and all you're left with is solitude, God is there. You can't escape his amazing love. And this young boy in our story, in that place of despair, of hopelessness, remembers the love of his father. But not for his children, for the servants. And he thinks, well, I'm not even good enough to be a son anymore, but at least I can go and be in that home. And he has to repent. He repents, he turns aside, he changes direction, and he turns back to his father, to commit to amend one's life. That's what repentance is. The restoration that comes when you acknowledge where you are before our Heavenly Father. And what happens to this son can happen to us too. As we come before our Heavenly Father, truly repentant, his love, he doesn't say, well, you're going to pay me back, aren't you? Go sit on the naughty set until you've learned your lesson. All these things that we do for people, hang on a minute, are we not supposed to love people the same way as God loves us? It's a challenge, isn't it, when we see this amazing love in action. And then you have the older boy. And perhaps we can put ourselves in that category when we see people come back, well, not letting them back in here again. Look what they did. Forgiveness is such a tough call sometimes. And yet by the power of the Spirit within us, forgiveness is possible. The older boy was unwelcoming. He was judgmental. He was self-righteous. Jealous, bitter, hard-hearted. Horrible things, aren't they? And yet, I wonder if we're honest with ourselves how often these feelings come into our hearts. Expecting people to earn our favour. You can't be loved any more than you're loved right now by God. He loves you, warts and all. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The problem in this story, my friends, is the father loved unconditionally, but neither of his children, I believe, remained in his love. The younger boy, that's obvious, he wandered off. And he had to take that time to return and turn around and come back. But the older boy, he wasn't in his father's love either. He was like, well, hey, look at me, look how good I am. He didn't appreciate exactly what he had. Neither of them remained in his love. Don't define God's love by your circumstances. There are no conditions on God's love. He loves you as you are. And as we reflect on that thought, we're going to sing a little chorus before I share my Old Testament passage. Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist.
I wonder how I managed.
And we can celebrate it, and we can sit in church and think, yeah, I've heard it all before. God loves me, I know that. And it is amazing. But we shouldn't take it for granted. The sincerity of love, I believe, is so important. Romans 12 and verse 9 talks to us and tells us that love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. As far as it depends on us, on me, live at peace with everyone. The Old Testament reading is only two verses that I wanted to leave with you today. It's possibly a bit obscure, but hopefully you'll understand why I'm reading it. We've been studying the life of Moses in our church, and something really struck me about this, which I wanted to just leave with you this morning. Because God's love, real love, can be painful. It can be sacrificial, it's costly. And we are called, as followers of Christ, to love others as Christ has loved us. So as we rejoice in the amazing love of God, we are also called to share that love with others. And that can be tough. But God has promised to enable us to do that. In Joshua chapter 5, just a couple of verses, it says this. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. Remember the Passover? A great time of rejoicing. They were freed from captivity. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land. Unleavened bread and roasted grain. Well, that's not my idea of a Sunday lunch, but that was a nice change there. It says the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, they ate of the produce of Canaan. Because this is where the children of Israel have at last made it into the promised land. And what really struck me, which I hadn't really registered before, I knew that God had provided the manna in the wilderness. Do you remember that red heaven that comes down when they were looking for food in the wilderness? And it tells us that actually, how long did they have it for? How long did those children of Israel eat manna? Yeah. 40 years. 40 years, yeah. I mean, I sort of knew they wandered in the desert 40 years, but it suddenly struck me, and it tells us very clearly in Exodus, as the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they entered the border of Canaan. So for 40 years before this date of these two verses that I read to you, they've been loved by God by him giving them manna. What happens in your life to so that you know, well, God did that, so he must love me? What happens when God doesn't do that? Question, isn't it? What happens when you pray for somebody and they die anyway? Where is the healing then? What happens when you look out the door and you see despair and you see sadness? When things don't go as you expect? God had been providing these people with manna every single day for 40 years, well, except day 7. The same thing over and over. If the children of Israel said, well, God loves us, and the reason I know God loves us is because he's giving me manna every day, then when that manna stops, they're going to think God doesn't love them anymore. How often do you hear people in the world today saying, how can God be a God of love? Look around you. God does love you. God loves the world so much that he gave his one and only son. Words that come off the tongue just so easily. That was an amazing gift. And if God does nothing else, you need to know that he loves you. If things change, he still loves you. Ministers come and go, he still loves you. Friends come and go, he still loves you. Is your God too small? in visions of how things have always been. And when they change, we think, well, that happened, so God can't love me anymore. But here we learn in Joshua, God is doing a new thing. I'm so grateful that God does new things. By grace we are saved through faith. It's the gift of God. Jesus died in our place. We have a new covenant with God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have salvation. The law of Moses was fulfilled in Christ. Christ is doing a new thing. But his love and ours, there's the challenge, shouldn't change. His love never changes. But what about ours? Do you define God's love by your circumstances? We reflected on what loving means to some of us. We need to get to a place where we realise that what Jesus has done for us in dying to take away the sin of the world is bigger than anything the world could throw at you. Because it truly is. Move past your past and love one another as Christ has loved us. Do you feel loved by God? No matter what. I pray that you do. This morning, as we reflect on the parable of the prodigal son and how much God loves us, may we in turn show that love to the world outside. It's not conditional. If you do that, then I'll love you, but if you don't, I won't. It's not subject to conditions, the love of God. It's truly sincere, free from pretense or deceit. When you are in a place of solitude, you can know that God is always there. I'm sure you all have friends and loved ones that don't have that assurance in their hearts. And we need to share that love so that they also may experience it. So my message to you this morning is quite simple. Vast, God's love. We sometimes say, Jesus, you love it, so wonderful. So wide, you can't get round it, so wide, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it, that's not the right order. But this is what we reflect on the amazing love of God. So truly pray today that you all feel loved by God in whatever circumstance. So what difference is that going to be in your life to everybody you meet this week? Whether they upset you or not, we're called to love. Why? John 13 tells us, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Yes, it's challenging, but as we grow in the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus, and as people see the love in our lives, as we share our lives together, we don't need words. We all know what it feels like to be loved in the silence. So I challenge you to share God's love in thoughts and words and deeds as you move forwards from this place. And for our final hymn, I've chosen for us a song, which is a prayer. Because it encourages us somewhere, there's a line in this hymn that says, Father, we love to seek your face. Father, I want to love, there it is, towards the end. Father, I want to love the ones that you will draw to you. That's the challenge, isn't it? One thing to experience God's love. Then ask his help that we might love the ones that he will draw to himself also.
Cover my face with your hand.
we appreciate and thank God for his love. What an amazing Father he is to us, the creator of the universe. And yet we can come into his presence and say, Abba, Father, my God, my Dad, the Father of the fatherless, in whom all families are blessed. And we rejoice and we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for loving us so much, that your Son died in our place, that we might have access into thy holy presence, not because we deserve it or we earned it, because of your great gift to mankind. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Let us rejoice in this unconditional love of thine for us. We pray that you help us, as perhaps we've brought people into our minds this morning who you've challenged us to share your love with over the days of this coming week. Those people that perhaps irritate us, or don't do things the way we do things, or done things that we find it difficult to forgive. As we bask in thy love, Father, help us to share that love. As your word reminds us, live at peace with everyone as far as it depends on us, leaving room for thy love, to thy will to avenge, to thy job, not ours. So I pray that you help us, you'd encourage us, you'd empower us as we move forward from this place, having experienced your love and blessing in our lives, to in turn not expect things to be changed, to stay the same, but through all the changing scenes of life, through trouble and in joy, to share thy love with the people that come across our pathways, that they might be drawn to the Saviour of the world, whom to know in life everlasting. And in whose name we pray. Amen. Shall we share the grace with one another?
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, and evermore.